Testing 1, 2, level check.
This is the Mayan Calendar Cast.
What if creation is still evolving?
What if we are still evolving?
What if there is a deadline?
What if that deadline is October 2011?
We can tune our consciousness.
We can choose the outcome.
We are on a schedule.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mayan Calendar Cast.
This is Jag Daddy.
And I'm Andy Mack.
This is episode number
23. And we're glad that you're joining us.
Didn't we just do 23?
No.
No?
Are you in a time vacuum warping?
I'm in a, black hole wormhole.
We have a wonderful thing to share with you today. An article from Carl Johan. It's hot off the press, I can tell you that.
The ink is still drying. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
Carl whisked this off to us by email today. He embarks tomorrow for
India. Yes.
Meeting up with
Alejandro Oshlag and Sri Bhagwan
in Chennai, India.
Chennai.
For their it's going to be the first time that they will meet in person. And
they'll have a few
it
days.
Is their prelude to actually going forward to the Golden City to meet with Sri Bhagwan, Kalki, in the Golden City there. And what I feel is a pinnacle event amongst the leaders of the transformation of consciousness movement, if you will, for all of our planet.
Yes, the ones who actually at this point have stepped up, and the thing is, there are going to be many, many who step up before this is over.
Yeah.
Doing and speaking and sharing
and
connecting.
This is going to be, I think, quite a collaboration.
Yeah, no question.
And what comes forth, I'm sure, will help benefit us all.
Yes.
And I'm really looking forward to
So we're going to share
news to come.
This article with you that's going to help to launch what this breakthrough celebration is all about. So in a sense,
this meeting in India is about the breakthrough celebration.
Absolutely. In fact, it is a kind of shaping up to be a kickoff in many ways to that. There are many people mobilizing around the planet pretty much as we speak, globally.
Organizing,
in Europe, Central Europe, in the United States, in Asia, many people. Now, I want to let you know that the Breakthrough Celebration website is still under construction and coming very close to launch. It should be within this next week.
BreakthroughCelebration.com.
Yes, and you can go to AirstreamRadio.com and find a link straight to it. Before we get into reading this article, it seemed to me it was a good idea, potentially, for Jag and I to talk about how we met. Because how we met brings us, there are so many dots being connected in our lives, and this article in so many ways, as we were reading it when it first came in together, we just had to stop along the way and talk about how these connections were happening from years ago in our personal journey. We started out, we actually met for the first time in 1980.
In Orlando, Florida.
That's right.
In a living room.
Yes. In a living room that was full of people who were there to have church.
In a word.
Now, I wouldn't say it was any church like you ever saw.
No, I wouldn't either, because it wasn't. It was quite unlike any church you ever saw.
You better believe it. But
this was a very passionate group of people who met in various homes because, it cost to rent places, and yet the gatherings were
there was no way that it could have been any better. No. You know, it was
if
just
it was
awesome.
In a place with a steeple on it, you know, it wouldn't have really changed a thing.
There was such love, such sharing, such connectedness, but it was what it was based on was not pumping each other up with excitement and lots of what am I looking for?
Promise.
Yes, yes. I mean, it was based on teaching, and it was based on discovering. It was based on shredding, really.
Shredding all that you know. I mean, literally, you know, taking concepts and ideas of...
Questioning everything.
Of commonly accepted truths.
Yes.
And taking them apart. And
piece by piece.
And then, you know, digging underneath for what, you know, was really there.
Yes.
Or not there.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was the case
much of the time,
and coming out so much more grounded and rooted, and you know, in the process, which was so exciting. That's what was so exciting about it. When I said these were a group of passionate people, I don't want that to be misconstrued. These were people who were impassioned.
Yes.
You know, hungry.
Yes.
For truth.
Yes,
hungry
and willing
to know
and open.
And open. These were open, hungry minds, and it was an adventure.
It was.
It really was.
And that's how
it was
we.
Exciting.
That's how we met.
Exciting time.
And then we worked together for the next several years until.
Of course, there was no shortage of passion either.
That's true.
I might add.
Yeah.
Because somehow, when you dig down, do all this work, digging for truth, it's like it gets all kinds of juice flowing.
Yeah.
And then in a lot of ways, and it was just, it was a wonderful, exciting time.
Yes.
Yeah. And the thing was, though, Andy Mack was married at the time.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
Had a relatively...
Well, I was in the midst of becoming unmarried.
Yeah.
And that was because I was hungry, and I wanted to dig, and I wanted to discover, and I was with a person
driven.
Who...
Let me tell you, she's a driven woman, and still is. You know, probably that much more so even now. And she was digging for truth,
yeah.
And she was quite a an upstart in many ways, you know, pretty much everywhere she went, because this is a woman who is absolutely... you know, determined. I mean, she speaks her mind, and she has questions. You know, they get asked. And even it doesn't matter what it means. It's like, if this is what you're saying, you know, then why is that? You know, what is this? And yeah, and it's like that's the stuff that makes people think. And then there would be a question after that, and a question after that, and a question after that. And I can remember people around her going, you know, geez, you know, like. You could feel it, you know, why do you work so hard at this? You know, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
But the result was that, you know, it was like when other people kind of got satisfied and would lay down their pick or shovel, she was still in there, you know, with her sleeves rolled up, you know, swinging away, you know, digging
yeah.
deeper. She's like, I don't get it yet. You know, I don't see, there's something else I'm missing. And she would just keep, you know, she would just keep digging. Crowd would kind of thin out as the hours went by. People would have to go to take care of their lives and whatnot. And so the thing that about this that was so cool was this would go on and on and on into wee hours, and to where it was like by, you know, firelight or candlelight. And
yeah.
there were only just those few left who were the really hungriest ones.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, that's when it really got good.
Yes,
every
time.
It was so these were times, let me tell you. And it was like the more we I wouldn't call it work, you know, we worked at it, but it was the more we discussed and conversed and you know, bringing up things that we knew or thought we knew and understood, and they would just suddenly become, you know, like unraveled, because you'd get something else that would make it make no sense, and you'd go, whoa, so what does that mean now then? If that's not... What is? And we would keep digging and find it.
Yes.
And it was just...
And all the pieces would connect. It's
You
know, in the interviews with Carl, he talked about pulling that string.
Pulling
and
the
when
thread,
you when you
yeah.
pull the thread,
the ball
well, another,
of tangled.
another thread pulls in another thread, and it's just fantastic. And we stuck with it for a number of years
Did
until
we
were...
Did we say what year that was?
The 1980s when we first met. And then for the next 15 years, we began teaching pretty much all across the country for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Actually going in different directions many times.
Yeah, I stayed east, you went west.
Yep. And then ultimately, I was west and you came west.
We conjoined.
Yeah.
And is that the right word?
I don't know, but it sounds good.
Sounds good.
I
traveled across the country, basically, from Florida to Los Angeles.
You wanted to be where the heat was.
I did.
Where the heat was.
Where the heat was. I wanted to be where Andy was.
Well, and at that, no, that's not
all. Yeah, that had a lot to do with it.
You never told me
Those testosterone-filled years.
Oh.
I was, and she was still married, but I was like...
But to someone else at this point.
Yeah, she was. And thing was, she was at the core, you know, the central core of what was going on amongst this...
Nationwide group. Yeah,
and... you know, I knew that. And so here I was, you know, we were all in Orlando and, you know, Central Florida. And then the tribe started kind of moving west. And I was kind of like left behind because of my living circumstances. And I just said, you know what? This isn't good enough for me. I've got to get out there. And so I worked my way across the country.
Yeah.
And to get... you know, over the course of about 3 years to get from East Coast to West Coast.
Yeah, that's about
and
what it took.
That's what I did. And was once again...
You went from Florida to Georgia to Kansas City.
To Missouri, yeah.
And then finally California.
Yeah.
You skipped half the country there.
Well, I did because, you know, it got so cold that winter in Missouri that it was like enough's enough.
Yes.
Enough is enough.
It was cold. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember your stories.
I got my last paycheck. When I was working at a plant, manufacturing plant, and constructing, doing electrical construction in Kansas City, Missouri, through the worst, coldest, most bitter winter of my life. It would warm up to 22 degrees during the day, and it was miserable. And I finally got laid off again, and I got my check, and I said,
"That's it, I'm going.
See ya, you know, Kansas City." I packed my toolbox, my work clothes. Got on a plane and flew to Los Angeles.
Yep. With really not much, actually.
That was
all some little lean there at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I was out where the flame was burning. You know, the flame, the hungry flame of truth was just blazing.
And
I went and got like, I got right up in the middle of it. Yes, I did.
And these are the things that drew us together.
They are.
Ultimately.
Digging was still going on. The mining process was still, we're still digging.
Yes.
I'd hear about it over the phone and by mail, and I was like, oh, I pined to be right there.
And you did it.
You know, being a part of it.
But here's the thing. All of that, ultimately, and we always would say, as speakers and going out and talking with people and training other people to learn how to open up and how to dig for themselves. One of the things we would always say, when there is light, follow it.
Yep.
When there is light, follow it. And all of these.
Yeah, there was no really hardcore, like nailed down. This is the truth. And this is what, you know, this is what is, and this is, you know, there is no other, and, you know, this is the truth, and everything else is wrong. It wasn't like that. It was, we always felt like we would walk in the light.
That's right.
Whatever light presented itself that, you know, we would walk in it, and that's what we did.
Absolutely.
And we continue, we have continued all these years.
Yes.
You know, seeking greater light, if you will.
Yes.
And it has been a transformative process all these years.
Hugely.
And I do want to say that, you know, we were teaching. We both became
ministers.
You know, licensed ministers.
Yeah.
And we were speakers and presenters and teachers, and we taught spiritual disciplines.
Yeah. Tenets, I guess.
Yeah,
but not really. I'd say
exercises, you know, how things, you know, things to do, procedures, what have you.
But what we studied, and tore apart and dug in the Bible.
Yeah,
we have years of that experience.
Tore up dogma.
Yeah, we did, and the thing is in connecting the dots,
what
that
karma
has
tore up the dogma. Yeah.
It just continued to expand and to expand. And this particular group through which we originally met went through a huge scattering and a huge a transformative chaos before mm-hmm. transformation. Mm-hmm. And we were all thrown out in like seeds into many
scattered
different places.
Scattered to the wind.
Pretty much. Yeah. The four winds. And Jag and I ended up being scattered in the same direction. And so here we are.
Yeah, our seeds, our peas kind of fell in the same pod where
they did.
Other peas kind of blew down the way, so to speak.
The thing is, though, all of that training, if you will, and all of that experience is back there, in there. It's not, back there is not the word I meant. It's here.
During that time period.
Right. But it comes with you, and it becomes, if you allow it not to stay stuck in time, then it will evolve. And then it
continues
will
to grow.
To grow.
Because,
that's right.
Yeah, it is a growing process. Truth is not static.
Not living truth.
You know,
how could it
once
be?
Once it becomes static, it's no longer truth.
Right.
You know, it's just...
So here we are now.
So we've continued to...
And these dots are connecting.
Sink.
And it's so exciting. So exciting.
The dots are connecting.
Yeah. We were... We're going to read this article.
The dots are actually connected.
Well, they've always been.
And yeah.
Now it's coming into view.
And then it becomes like, as they come into the awareness...
Yeah, it just keeps growing.
They seem like they're being connected. But it's always there.
That's good. Right. That's good. That's right.
It's always
I'm liking
there.
That. This article is so wonderful, and you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Give us like a 2 seconds here to tell you what you're listening at. You are listening to AirstreamRadio.com. Radio. The name of the article is The Breakthrough Celebration is a Process, Not a Singular Event.
By Carl Johan Kalaman, researcher and author.
That's right.
And PhD.
So we're going to go ahead and read this for you. And Jag, you're going to start. I know you're just, you sound good when
champagne.
You read this. Yeah, go for it.
For some 20 years or so, spiritually oriented people in the world have become more or less accustomed to calls for global meditations for various reasons. Some of the most powerful global meditations have been based on the Mayan calendar in its traditional form, such as the Harmonic Convergence of August 16, 17, 1987, Maya calendar dates 1 Einish and 2 Eek, and the Oneness Celebration, June 6 to 8, 2004, which were 4 Ahau, 5 Einish, and 6 Eek. People then have had deep experiences of contact with a higher reality, and that we as a collective are part of a divinely guided process that is especially strongly experienced at such events. Yet, despite the power of such experiences, they have been awakened by singular events, quite in contrast to the aspect of divine creation that we are in the midst of, the galactic underworld. An underworld is a specific level of evolution of consciousness, which is a process. The galactic underworld is in reality an exactly charted wave movement of alternating energies that chart the overall collective development of humanity at the present time. Hence, it would seem that if we are to be a part of this process and want to help see this divine process of creation arrive at its intended fulfillment, we should actually participate in a collective process rather than just singular, isolated events.
We have now come to a point in the galactic underworld where interest in the cosmic plan has become so great that we may jointly start to develop processes to successfully make the transition to the fifth day of the galactic underworld. The fifth day is The Pulse of Light, starting November 24, 2006, that carries the breakthrough energy of this underworld, a type of cosmic energy that at earlier points led to the breakthrough of Christianity and the modern world, respectively. Whatever the content of it, we also have every reason to believe that Mel Gibson's upcoming movie, Apocalypto, will serve to create a breakthrough into mainstream interest in the Mayan calendar carried by this new light. Given the nature of this breakthrough as a wider collective process, it then seems natural that we look at the dates for the breakthrough celebration, Ahau dates, Oneness in Light dates, not as isolated events, but as markers or steps in a common process.
For the first time in its history, a small minority of humanity has now come to realize that we are living in a divine process of creation, and that this process is exactly charted by the Mayan calendar. Bringing this realization into mainstream thought is part of the purpose of the breakthrough celebration. Such a change is no minor change in humanity's view of its own place in the universe, and given the inspiration we may find in this, we may soon reach a critical mass where it becomes meaningful to actively participate in this divine process as co-creators. The breakthrough celebration is designed for this purpose, and because it is a process rather than a singular event, very likely it will oblige us to work in a totally different way. The way of transforming ourselves consciously and willfully into beings of co-creation, rather than as sometimes has been the case with the singular events, people experiencing temporary spiritual highs. It is a matter of becoming what the human race is intended to become, of realizing that there is no one else to wait for. We are the ones, the conscious co-creators that we have been waiting for.
Huge. What, in a larger perspective, we know about the galactic underworld is that its days tend to favor the eastern right hemispheres of the cosmic mind, with consequences for all aspects of human life, and strongly influencing such things as east-west relations, gender relations, and the relationship between body and soul. New syntheses and expressions of both inner and outer unity is being expressed in all of these fields, and the question is then if we will be able to drive these transformations consciously as co-creators with the divine plan, as this is aligned with the Mayan calendar in general and the galactic underworld in particular. Again, when this happens, it will be a first time ever in the history of humanity, the birth of a new kind of human being, Homo co-creativus. In my view, I feel we should now embark on such a transformation, not only because it may be part of our destiny, but also because, at least in my own view, the fifth day, beginning in November of 2006, increases the probability of a global currency crisis led by the downfall of the U.S. dollar. The end to Western dominance is now evident all over the world, not only in the economic strengthening of China, India, and Russia, but also in the political changes in Latin America and the Middle East. Whether it will be the Iranian oil bourse or something else that triggers the downfall of the U.S. dollar, it seems likely that this shift away from Western dominance will be permanented through its downfall around the time that the fifth day begins. Whatever this change implies, it should create an opening for us to take charge of our destinies and actively co-create the world in the direction where the galactic underworld is meant to take us, to a balancing of our relations and an end to dominance.
Personally, I do not think there is such a thing as a panacea for what to do at our present time. Dikshas can lead to enlightenment, but the transformation of the real world into a world of oneness will require a continuous transformation and co-creation of our world in such a way that the new reality, the world of oneness, manifests. Hence, while the Breakthrough Celebration includes a recommendation of a series of Diksha days for spiritual inspiration and experience of the Divine Presence, these days are more to be seen as markers for us to relate to as we participate in the transformation of the world we live in. These markers, in turn, will serve as guidance in the process. Needless to say, the transformation of the human being into a being who is a co-creator in the divine plan presents a formidable challenge. In the time of the singular events, we would go back to lives more or less lived according to the old paradigms that still dominate society at large. But what would it be like not to go back to that, or even if there is no such society in the traditional sense to go back to? For those hoping for life to become easier as we go along, I feel there is not much good news. The challenges are likely to become even greater, and if there is any insurance for the future, it is to have a focus on oneness. At least with such a focus, we know that we serve the higher purpose of the whole. The fifth day will mean a breakthrough into the new reality, and this also means a breakdown of the old. Our choice will be whether to deplore the loss of the old or to affirm the new. The future obviously belongs to those that affirm the new. How then are we to develop the breakthrough celebration from a series of singular events to a common process? This, I believe, is what we will have to create together, and the starting point must be a commitment to have it be a process. What this means then is to see the time in between the Ahau, Diksha, prayer, and meditation days as part of the process. Actually, the process is there whether we are aware of it or not. The process is called the divine process of creation, and its purpose is to fully manifest our own divinity. Yet, what can we do concretely to develop the an experience of the breakthrough celebration as a process? I feel we should look at the principle of paying it forward, of passing on the baton to the next, and in this way, disseminate the new balancing phenomena emerging with the galactic underworld. Whether it is about strengthening the feminine, developing holistic health, or co-creating an end to dominance in the world. Possible ways of doing this is to pass on fires from fire ceremonies from one place to another, like an Olympic fire that does not die, or at least blessed matches, passing on dikshas, passing on the process in a dynamic way in transforming the world. Of course, this may all sound like science fiction to the many that think that human beings will never change. But if there is one thing we may learn from the Mayan calendar, then it is that it is the energies of the cosmic plan that make human beings become what they are, and that these energies change as the underworlds change. We have now completed the fourth day of the galactic underworld, which means that step by step human beings of this planet have been transformed on an inner level by 4 days, 4 pulses of light in the galactic underworld. Certainly, many have been transformed, although in the general societal context of their lives, this transformation has not yet had a chance to blossom. The fifth day allows for a breakthrough of the accumulated transformation of the previous 4 days, so that it also becomes visibly evident in the external world and allowed to blossom. This is what we are in for, and the breakthrough celebration for the transition into the fifth day presents not only a challenge, but also an opportunity for the new energies to visibly manifest in an altered way of life. Carl Johan Kalman, Orsa, Sweden, 1 Imish, 7.4.1 in the Galactic Underworld, February 17, 2006.
What an article.
There is quite a bit to chew on there.
Yes, there is. Quite a bit. And
thank you for that, Carl Johan.
So very much. We hope that you certainly got a lot out of that, but we need to talk about it for a minute or two here. There is a point that's a big point. We have had many emails from people, posts on the forum, discussions with people on the phone regarding the Mayan calendar, the information in the Mayan calendar, how it's being presented from Mayan Calendar Cast and MCCTV. And you know what people say? They say, you guys are really coming from a place of hope. Now, to me, that is a very exciting thing, for people to feel hope coming through a digital medium. We're from, here in...
from an Airstream
right.
podcast studio.
That's right. Well, now, here's the thing, and this is an invaluable...
Oh, I should say a vintage Airstream.
There you
podcast
go.
Studio.
Right.
Very vintage.
Very, yes, very vintage. And this is a very valuable point that I think is worth making, especially on the heels of this article. We want to be clear that we're not saying what lies ahead is going to be easy. This is about transformation.
Yes, meaning don't worry.
Exactly. Worry does you no good. It's not a
worry
productive thing to engage in.
Is nothing but conflict, struggle, and resistance.
That's right. But transformation is the key to this. What lies ahead is going to be, well, we said it, and you said it actually, Jack, in podcast 22, you were talking about the ingredients and the blender.
The cosmic blender.
Yeah. And the fifth day has pretty much always, fifth day and fifth night have repeatedly, through every underworld previous to this one, have promised to be quite a breakthrough. And we don't know what this breakthrough entirely will entail. And as Carl said in the interview with him, we may not want to. It may be better we don't. In that sense, so we don't sit and make expectations or draw judgments, but that we allow. And in this transformation process, it is about allowing and surrender, mm-hmm. and not being attached to outcome.
Letting go of the old.
Yes. And opening to the possibilities and the potential of which there is unlimited. Really. Mm-hmm. This is just what we're
letting
standing.
Go, letting go and being willing to flow with the intention of creation.
Yes.
Flow with it. Not fighting it, not resisting it, not regretting the changes, not mourning the loss of things that used to be or
that,
you know,
need
that
fall
we
away.
Were accustomed to. Mm-hmm. And this is on many, many levels.
Yes, it is.
You know, things are we're going to see some
pretty major change.
Some very, very big changes in our world.
Yes. Now, here's another big point. My parents were here. Some of you may know that. We're here for a while. And we had dinner together, I think Saturday evening was the last time we got together and
Friday,
made dinner. And
Friday
night,
yeah.
That's right, because they left Saturday morning. And they, for the first time, watched some of the videos from MCCTV. And one of the first questions from my mom, well, so what does that mean? What's going to happen? That's the first question, and it is a common and very first question to pop to mind. What's going to happen?
Yeah, what's going to happen October 2011?
That's right. What is October 2011? What's that mean? And then the other people that are just coming in to information about the true Mayan calendar are asking questions. Well, what's going to happen the fifth day?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can see where that's a good question. It's
sure.
You know, we're talking about an end date.
Yeah.
Right? The end date of, you know, 5,000 years the Maya, you know, had been tracking time.
Yes.
You know, I mean, so yeah, why all of a sudden does it come to an end?
Right. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Anytime you're talking about something that's global in scale, but this is not just global. Guys, we're not the only ones involved here. This is everything everywhere.
Yeah, when you think about it, it's like, what else is there? You know, we're here. We're, you know, on... Not even...
Well, we're awfully concerned with...
In our little town or city or...
Us.
However big our town or city is or, yeah. You know, community or our farm town or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like where... What else is there? You don't really... We don't tend to...
We don't really often go outside of our... what's in
speck
our...
Speck of mud.
Exactly.
On this little blue marble.
But the fact is, everything is involved. All of consciousness. And everything has consciousness. So here we are, and here is this
even,
coming
even
fifth
rocks.
Day. That's true.
Think about
they
it.
They just vibrate very, very slow.
So you really have to pay attention to get anything from
from a rock.
From a rock.
If you're gonna
but
have
it's
a conver-
possible.
Yeah. If you're gonna have a conversation with a rock, just get ready to
stones do speak.
Yes, they do. Obviously. So this here's something that's a pretty amazing thing to just tuck back there. The Mayan calendar is, yes, the sacred Zelkeen is called the personal calendar, the tune, the prophetic calendar. And through this process of this 13-20 ratio, the ancient Maya saw many things as a result of understanding sacred time, of understanding what we're just now waking up to, which is these wave cycles, or these rhythms, if you will, of creation. And so what is it about, I'm just going to pose this as a question to you, is it so much about the what as it is the when? Because that's what the Mayan calendar gives us today. The when. These 13 are these ahau days that lie ahead.
Mm, the when and the ahau. The light. The days of light.
Hold on. That's too good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Woo, woo. Woo, woo. Thank you.
Very
too.
Good. That's right. And that's what we have in this next year, beginning May 27, 2006, which has now been dubbed the Breakthrough Celebration by Carl Johan Kalman, who has put out this concept. Now, he planted a seed, everyone, and we all get to take part in nurturing the seed that we are.
Mm.
And
the little seedlings we are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
These ahau days present a when. And it is the when that give us the process.
The ahau.
It doesn't, that's right. And the how will be obvious. The ahau will be clear to us.
Yeah, because.
But in the meantime, all we need to do, our job, do you know what it is?
What is it?
It's to plug into our intuition. It's to allow inner transformation. It is to open ourselves to let go of our expectations and our judgments and our conflicts and struggle and resistance.
Our 24 frame per second mind.
Yes. Yes.
The survival tool.
That's how fast the mind goes. It is a very old survival tool, and it was
it
way
is a,
ahead of its time when
the
it
mind
came.
Is a 102,000-year-old habit.
Yes.
Which served us well for quite a long
very
time.
Very long time.
However, this time.
This, it's changing.
It's
done change.
It's a ball and chain.
The mind cannot keep up.
And the collar is not around your ankle, it's around your neck.
You know? Head and shoulders.
It's sitting on your neck, the ball and the chain.
Well, the brain is a physical organ inside of the skull. The mind is this idea or habit we have of thinking that our thoughts are ours and that they tell us who we are.
But and it what is, we are.
Exactly. But it is in our intuition, in these intensely manifesting synchronicities, that as you tune and let yourself simply follow some very, very easy. Well, it's simplicity at its finest. Mm. It really is. But, of course, when I say that, you might still be saying, yeah, but what does that mean? What does that mean? And I understand that. And we're, of course, going to be talking
so
about this.
So that's your job.
Over and over. That's right.
Is to intuit, to
yes.
listen, to tune into your individual connection to the one, the all that is, the one soul that we all are, and listen for what those answers are, because that's really, we cannot tell you, you know, we can tell you and you won't hear it.
That's right.
You know, it's you, it has to be a self-discovery,
yes.
which is not really that big a deal. Intuition is just right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in your breath. Yes. It is in your heartbeat. Every one of us has the same ability, the same capacity to tune and to listen and to see.
Yes.
To yes. hear, to discover, to become.
Because it's all there waiting.
Yeah.
You know, so many times for myself, I'll be washing dishes. You know, talk about your basic mundane daily chore.
It happens to me, too, in the shower.
Yes, in the shower.
The Stargate.
You're saying
that. We call it the Stargate.
Yeah, we do have the Air Radio Podcast Stargate.
It's amazing how when we're engaged in the most menial tasks, you know, like mm-hmm. scrubbing a pot or a plate or a fork or you know, your underarms in the shower, that these... You know, these
profound insights just come floating
like,
through.
When it's like you're the most,
it's in a way, it's when you're most relaxed, I guess. Or maybe.
It's so automatic that you just
that's
disconnect
mm-hmm.
from what it is you're doing. And
yeah.
that's when it's like, bada bing, bada bang, bada boom. This is a little thought, but it's huge. It's like, whoa. You know, it's like, wow. Wow. You hear something like, I'll be hard. Andy, you want to check this out? You know, and I just got. And it's like, and the most profound things, it's another step.
Yes.
You know, each one is a step
yes.
forward.
Sometimes it's absolutely so personal, and it is a peeling away of the onion layers, you know.
Oh, that's a real good way to put it.
Make you up. And something gets peeled off, and it can kind of hurt a little once in a while. Sometimes more than once in a while. Sometimes very personal. Sometimes it's global.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's in between. You know,
in
sometimes
between personal and global.
And global.
Is
sometimes it's cosmic. Sometimes it's
oceanic.
you see the whole thing at once, and sometimes it's just you and the person you live with and something that happened and you went, ah, and you see it in a different way and
yeah.
your perception has changed.
Yeah.
And you are now a different person. And every time that happens, you are different. And that's transformation.
Yeah. And that's beautiful.
Oh, it is.
And that's the how of it.
I love that. See, here's a great story. There's a guy in a canoe, and he's going lazily down the river. It's a beautiful day.
It's bright, sunny summer day. You know,
it's warm. He's feeling good.
Just kick back in that canoe, soaking in sun and the green and the blue sky.
Yeah, the water's kind of just lap up against the boat.
And he falls asleep in
yeah.
that canoe.
Just leans back.
Lazily drifting along. Just yeah.
But as the river has carried the boat a little further downstream.
There you are. On the shore.
Watching.
Seeing this canoe just lazily gliding by.
And you can see the guy.
Heading straight for this huge waterfall. Oh, my God. That guy in that canoe is heading for that waterfall, and he's asleep. Hey. Hey, you shout. Hey. Hey. Wake up. You're heading for a waterfall. Dude. And so you pick up a big rock, and it's rock off the side of the riverbank, and you chuck it. And it, whack, it knocks him in the head. And
ow!
And he wakes up, and he's like, what the? He's looking around, sees you, and he's all upset.
And you're on the riverbank.
You just hit him in the head
you're
with the rock.
Ahead,
waterfall.
Oh, my God, you're going to go over the edge.
And here he comes paddling like, you know, the Dickens for the riverbank where you are, because you just hit him in the head with a rock, and he's really upset, you know.
And that's the main
you
thing he's interested
You just saved his life,
in.
And he's going to come and beat you with the canoe paddle.
Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever tried to tell someone that there's a waterfall ahead and they're sleeping?
And you don't see it?
And I'm going to help you wake up? And even though when you wake somebody up, sometimes it can totally make them
piss them off royally, let me tell you.
That's right.
People don't tend to want to be woke up.
That's right.
From their slumber. It's so comfy and warm and cozy.
Yes,
and,
so good.
Yeah, it's just comfortable. You know, they've been wrapped in it. Those thought processes, that way of being, you know, they learned it from their daddy.
Yeah.
From their granddaddy.
And the reality of it is there's a whole lot of people
teacher.
Sleeping in the canoe. And there is
a whole lot of canoes. Yeah.
Ahead.
and they're just...
So be gentle as you can, but if you have to pick up a rock,
chuck it.
Then chuck it. That's all we got to say. We have come to the end of our time for podcast number 23.
Already?
I know.
I'm loving this. It's like time just flies.
It really does.
We're having fun.
But I'm kind of hungry. Are you hungry?
I'm starving.
Why don't we go get something to eat? Does that sound good?
Yeah, we're going to go eat. Hey, catch you later. Bye, y'all. In Lakesh, we do love you, but we're hungry. Let's go. Wow, I'm starving, actually. I'm like, my belly's gnawing on my backbone.
I'm Andy Mack.
I'm Jag Daddy.
And this is the Mayan Calendar Cast.
Yes, it is. The one and only, the very first Mayan Calendar Podcast.
On the internet.
In the world.
You can find us at www.airstreamradio.com.
Yeah, and you can vote for us at Podcast Alley anytime you like.
That's right, right from the show notes.
Once a month, every month.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Throw that rock.
Throw that rock.
And we love you. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.